Sorry?
Maybe have four people on that side. And four
it doesn't matter, whatever. You want to line up wherever you want to line up. Somewhere in front where people in the room can see us in a more clear fashion.
Yeah.
We are? Okay. All right, good morning, folks. My name is Kareem Yagmur, and this is a panel session. So I missed a meeting this week, and I got attributed a panel session. Hey. So the lesson is don't miss meetings, please. Anyway, essentially what we want to do is talk a little bit about building communities or a community around the AOSP, and Android in general. If somebody could get the door, that'd be great. And I have a sort of certain number of questions that I sort of put together to help move things along. But I thought I'd open it up by giving a bit of a historical sort of a reminder. If I remember correctly, there was a sort of a panel discussion with Andy Rubin at a conference in around 2007 and 8, and he was asked about, you know, open source and Android. And if I recall correctly, he said, you know, open source is two things. It's a licensing model and a community development model. He said, we're very strong on the licensing side, not so much on the community side. And that has stayed true until very much today. If you talk to old timers, people that were there in the very early days of Android, they'll tell you that the Android team was very welcoming of questions and helping and everything. But over the years, that has been more and more shut down. And these days, it's really hard to get a hold of some of these folks. I mean, if on a one-on-one basis, these are awesome people. I've had the chance and the opportunity to work with some of these guys. They're awesome. They're very generous. And I think that individually, as geeks, they wish us all well. But as a corporate entity, Google's not so much on the community side of things with Android, and there's a number of different issues with that. All right? So I guess the idea here is just to gather a bit of common wisdom of some folks that have been doing a lot of this stuff, and of course, you guys as well. And so my first question really is to the panel is, what is the closest project in open source that you can think of that might resemble the development model that Android has? Because it's pretty unique. I mean, I come from the Linux kernel background when I used to go to the kernel mailing list and, you know, flame whoever I didn't like. you can't so much do that in the AOSP community. I mean, there's the people who are behind the development of the code are just not there, you know, in terms of being able to talk to them one-on-one. So who wants to take that one first? All right. What can we relate this to or compare it to? Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, go on. Yeah, all right.
Well, I just want to say I don't know of any other project which is the same, which is similar to AOSP. AOSP seems to be kind of unique in the disjoint between the developers and the developers who write the code at Google and the people who use that code. I can't think of another project that works quite in this way. Anybody have anything?
So I think so. There are two parts of this, right? One is the system developers and the application developers, right? So what we are talking about are the system developers, and we think that okay, there is no synchronization between the developers with the core platform developers or the AOSP folks. But if you look at the application side, right, they're more organized. I mean, they know what to look for and where to look for, and I think that's what the even Google is targeting. Even, I mean, from the Google point of view, if you think, then they might, I mean, Android applications, I think they would value more than anyone playing with the systems. I mean, just my opinion on that.
And sorry for sort of walking this around. It's just that they didn't give us any of the mic.
Did you want to say something?
No.
I guess my two cents are that Android is such a vast code base that actually it's kind of difficult to look at it as like one unit and extrapolate from that. There is a big difference between code that is being extended by the Android team, where the internal teams are actually quite keen on upstreaming their changes. And there's this internal culture of, upstreaming, like Chris was saying, is a way how to reduce your maintenance burden. right? So even Google thinks about that, and they try to reduce their maintenance burden. But then you have this vast code base of code that was developed specifically for Android, all framework and so on, and the culture really isn't the same there, right? So yeah, I would encourage you to kind of think about this in two different ways, maybe.
Right, so I guess the distinction being made there is that there are, you know, there's the frameworks world, which is not as open, and then there's a lot of other stuff that where people are more eager to upstream and interface. And I think to an extent that's very true. I mean, if you look at the contributions of the Android team to something like Linux Plumbers, I mean, they've been very active and very and you know, they show up and have very constructive conversations. So that to an extent that is true, but it still remains that, you know, as it is not generally a project where you can just go in and contribute stuff as easily. I mean, the best I could think of closest to this is SQLite, where Sentry is just completely closed, and they're like, you know, yeah, we love it that you guys are using this, but we're not actually welcoming any sort of external contributions. And so I guess the follow-up question to that is who else is existing in that ecosystem apart from Google? It is a huge code base, but you can't really use that code base as is. There are other players that you've got to work with. You know, of course, the first that comes to mind is a silicon vendor. And I was wondering, you know, what is it that you guys think, or maybe folks like Linaro, right? And just wondering, what are the other sort of juncture points where there are people that are doing similar work that we can interface with, understanding, of course, that in some cases, in the case of silicon vendors, the knowledge they have is sometimes sort of seen as, you know, kind of like secret sauce and stuff like that, right? Anybody want to take that? Other parties who are sort of possibly helpful in building a general sense of community? Yeah, you want to try?
I just have a counter example of how hard it is to build a community. Now that's my example are automotive vendors, and not the automotive vendors, but also they have a culture of not showing their code and not contributing or talking to others. So also the teams there, they work on the AOSP, they build their products with the AOSP, their car infotainment systems, yep. But they are not on conferences. So not on conferences, giving out talks, not upstreaming. But also there's, I think it's a cultural issue of these companies that open source is not there as seen as a value. And therefore we don't have a good AOSP and community, but we want to talk about how to improve it.
Yeah. And without sort of pointing fingers here or sort of having a Linaro talk a bit more, I mean, what can Linaro do, or what can we do to help Linaro build what, you know, support you guys have got for some of the boards that you do, which is already something, a good resource, I think, for most people?
So immediately one example that comes to my mind is I was looking at optimizations, doing profile-guided optimizations, and trying to improve overall how devices, their boards, and form factor devices, they can use it. The challenge I've been facing is that we don't have access to ETM-enabled devices. And so there is no easy way to collect those profile data and share. Now, while doing that interaction, actually, I connected with the folks at Google who are doing the same thing. Sure. And even they face the same handicap, which is to say that they have access to stuff that Pixel devices can give them. And so the profile data for that is available in AOSP, but no one knows about it. That's one. The other aspect is that there are multiple spaces of collaboration, and I think there are anchor points inside of Google Android teams also that we that can be connected with. Just that there's no. I fully agree with the feeling that there's no easy way to connect with them.
Sure.
And yeah, so yeah.
All right, thank you. Okay, so maybe another angle at this is to see existing successful communities around Android. I mean, there's LineageOS, for example, which is a prime example. And I was wondering if there are other sort of examples that people might cite. We were just talking about the work Linaro was doing, and wondering if, or what can we learn from those communities? Like, for example, what makes LineageOS so successful, for instance?
That is also
Glodroid.
Yeah, Glodroid. Roman is still,
You want to? No? Anybody from the crowd is welcome to participate as well, by the way. Yeah, there you go.
So the question is why Lineadress is so successful in the community? So I'm Roman and I'm working at Murino, so the company behind EOS, which is itself based on Lineadress. Why Lineadress is so successful? I feel it's because it's quite open and don't try to promote something, they just try to make AOSP compatible with as many devices as possible, and they don't try to promote anything. They are quite basics on what AOSP is. So I think that's why it's quite popular, because anyone feels, okay, I can bring my device on it. And they're quite popular also on XDA forum. I think that's another place where there is a large AOSP community. And yep, that's my feeling for Lineadress. And they are also old. They are here with Cyanogen Mode. They are here since a very long time. So that's why also they are bringing AOSP on so many devices today.
Hello. Yeah, I'm Nikita Okrenkov. I currently work for Yola, but I also work with open source projects for like Linux on mobile distros, and we kind of use AOSP as well, but only as a core for hardware adaptation, because we want to reuse the drivers from AOSP and then we'll run our own UI on top of that. But what I wanted to say about Lineage OS is that maybe the reason it's so popular is because it's like accessible to general people. Like you don't need a special dev board like with Linaro, but you can try to install it on the general population device, I would say. But it would be really nice to see also broader like collaboration side of ASP, and yeah, nice to see people trying to talk about it.
Yeah, so if I could just kind of summarize this a little bit, it seems to me that there are communities around individual AOSP distros. So Lineage would be one, EOS would be another, and also around the various dev boards. So Glowdroid, as Sumit just mentioned, has a community around the dev boards they provide. Likewise, there's Raspberry Pi, Android Raspberry Pi, and various things around Raspberry Pi. So each one of these has its own community, but there isn't much communication between them. So kind of what we need, in my opinion, is some mechanism to kind of bridge between all of these, so that the people from Lineage can talk to the people from Raspberry Pi, can talk to the people from whoever, and kind of have a forum where they can communicate together. So yeah, we need to bridge the islands together, basically.
Yep. And speaking of which, I'm bridging sort of like the gap between all these communities, I think one of the issues that everybody faces is kind of like getting around and knowing around and getting stuff done. I think Amit sort of was doing when he was doing his presentation, he was mentioning that, you know, oh, we found this out by doing grepping the code, and yeah, okay, guilty of that. Everybody does that, you know. We're like just grepping the code. It's like, oh, wait, what's this new flag? I've never seen this anywhere. And I think this is an issue that everybody in this community is facing. Of course, you know, there's source.android.com, but yeah, you know, there's always some stuff that's just not there. And I was wondering if there's something we could do around that. I mean, is there, and if nothing else, you know, you just go around the code and you got these, you know, this is to fix b/blah. And you can't click on those because it's an internal bug repository from Google. And it's just, you know, we don't really know what they're fixing when they're adding this feature or that feature. And I was wondering if I just get a word from the folks on the panel here on that, how we could possibly sort of provide a resource where we have these facilitations of, or common, you know, group wisdom, or, you know, just community wisdom of the ways to get around and fix stuff around. Yeah? All right.
So first of all, I should say that even if you have access to those bugs, you would go to those bugs and be like, okay, now from those bugs, I need to figure out where's the design document and then figure out where the PRD is and stuff like that. So even at Google, it could be difficult to do that sometimes. But I'd say that maybe that's something that we could help you folks with the newsletter. I mean, the whole purpose of this community is to be helpful. So the more folks we have discussing topics on Discord, the more we figure out what are the pain points. And between our shared knowledge, we could figure out who are the right folks at Google to help us with that. Or maybe we can figure it out myself, ourselves. And yeah, I think it's a little bit of archaeology, right? Like it's codesearch.android.com. It's the commit messages is figuring out how it works and figuring out how it doesn't work. And I would say it's not that different at Google, right? Because it's a big, big community. Even inside Google, it takes a little bit of time to figure out who's the right person. But yeah, I'd encourage us to just list those questions, and then the more we have listed, the more we'll answer. And I think I want to say another thing. I'll talk about this a little bit in my presentation, but in the past, Android didn't really have a need to update, right? Like you have these devices that could run like super old code bases, and then you'd continue modifying that code base and not ever have to deal with upstream ever again. I think that's going to change significantly in the coming years. Like it's going to change for tablets and phones, it's going to change for cards, it's going to change for everything else. So you're going to have to interact with upstream, and this is probably the best way to do that. You're going to have to engage with the community some more. So hopefully we can facilitate with some of those things.
So Karim, when you asked the question, immediately something that came to my mind was it feels like there's space for something like a shared dictionary or wiki or a space where people can go contribute and say, hey, I found this flag does blah, 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 and I'm just documenting it here.
Right.
The format could be something that we can talk about, but it feels like there's space for something like that.
Sure.
It could be on ASP.org. It could be elsewhere, I think, again.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Go ahead, Chris. Yeah.
Oh. I was waving at somebody, but never mind.
No, I thought you were. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to have a shared resource, and this is one of the ambitions I have for ASPDevs.org, is that we would have some kind of shared documentation resources where people can document, as Amit showed in his presentation just now, we set this flag to do this thing, we set this flag to do this other thing, oh, and we grep the code and we found another flag which nobody knew about, but it reduces boot time by half. It would be great if we could have some kind of shared documentation area where we can just simply put these things in. Now, the problem with this is maintenance, because once you've done that, then a couple of releases later, this is all changed, and somebody needs to go through it from time to time and kick out the bad stuff. But it is my ambition that we would do that somehow in ASPDevs.org.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, sort of speaking of a sort of community resource like this, how much something like elinux.org can also be a sort of similar repository, or because I mean they've been around for a long time, and the site does get some usage. I mean, if nothing else, one thing maybe that would be interesting to see on ASP Devs is just a list of all the sort of projects that are sort of interesting for people to look at, like you know, Lineage and Glodroid and whatever else that is there. I guess one of the things that I'd be interested to hear about from the panel, because we're all sort of doing this work, is what is missing from source.android.com that just you can't find when you go there? I've got my own ideas, but before I sort of spell those out, I was wondering if somebody wants to take that. Yep.
Just stuff on Codec 2, like on the multimedia stack.
Okay.
There's good. A lot. I mean, it's quite complex, and code is, in my opinion, not that good, and... I mean, if you need to add your own like hardware decoding support, it's not easy.
Anybody else wants to chime in?
To add radio interface layer in that list.
Radio interface layer? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Again, just one quick thing. in my opinion, one of the greatest things that would benefit source to Android.com would be to version the documentation, because when you look at a page on source to Android.com, you've no real idea which version of Android it relates to, and quite often there's old stuff in there which hasn't been cleaned out. And also, you know, these things change quite significantly between Android versions. So, yeah, they could do with some version control of their documentation.
Yeah, I think I have not. I don't know if that there is or is not. But is this in the Git repository somewhere? Because I like to just do git diff sometimes on it.
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay. Oh, it's private. Boo.
This is just a tiny data point, but. One thing that's been happening a bit is that teams are adding readmes into the Git repositories.
Yes.
So sometimes you can find documentation and version documentation right next to the code. And it tends to be more to the point than source Android.com, because that's supposed to be like a overview of the basic concepts, right? So it might be worth looking at the particular Git repo if it has a readme or not.
Yeah, so one of the things that I usually tell people that my feeling about source.android.com is, so they tell you essentially how the stuff sort of runs on the Google side of it, but then there's these parts that say, well, the hardware does X, and it's like, okay, there's this whole missing part from the SoC vendor. This is not being documented here. And if you try to go walk to this SoC vendor, it's like, oh, whoop, here's the NDA. Because otherwise, you know, you can't get the information as to how do you actually do hardware back storage. Well, okay, that's not part of the actual specification. This is just for you to actually determine. I've done enough sort of talking to these folks here. So what is it that you guys, people in the community who are actually sort of participating in this would like to see that is not there? Anybody want to chime in here? We got 10 minutes, right? Thank you. Oh, we're all set then. We don't need nothing, do we? So one of the things that, you know, the work that Chris has been doing over the past 2 or 3 years, I think, is awesome with the AOSB meetups and AOS meetups. And I was wondering, you know, from your point of view, what is it that you feel is maybe missing that we would need?
Okay, so yeah, about 3 years ago, I started the AOSP and AAOS meetup group, and that was the result. So over the years, I've done a lot of training sessions with people throughout the world, but particularly in Android and automotive areas, and I just wanted to kind of keep the conversation going a little bit. So this has been quite successful from my point of view. There's a lot of people signed up to the meetup group. We have meetups every 2 months, and we have a bunch of people turn up. It's really good. The problem is that is kind of stuck at that point. I really wanted to get to the point where there's more collaboration going on. And that's the idea of behind AOSPdevs.org, is to have a more interactive forum where people can communicate more. And I think together they work really well. So the regular meetups, they give a focus, and it's a place where people can turn up. And there's a whole, you know, we have like 40 or 50 videos now from over the years on a whole range of subjects. So there's a whole kind of repository of valuable information there. So the thing that we need next, and the thing that we're kind of here to talk about this today, is how to take this to the next stage, how to get more collaboration going, how to keep the conversation going. So that's where we're at, I think.
All right. So one of the things that I've been sort of wondering here is who are the stakeholders and what are their incentives for actually creating any sort of community? Because from Google's perspective, they have the model that they have. Then you've got the silicon vendors that have the model that they have, and then you've got the device vendors. And I guess the sort of unfortunately, what I see is you get the foot soldiers that are sort of underneath all these layers that are actually trying to get stuff done, and they're the ones who are actually struggling. So it's not the actual sort of big conglomerates or big companies or whatever, they don't necessarily have an incentive of actually sort of sharing or building communities, but the foot soldiers do. So I was wondering how we could sort of help this happen. So, I mean, yeah, AOSP devs and the Discord channel that we've got in place is good. And we were talking about, you know, some sort of wiki. There's these, of course, these presentations that are made every so often by all sorts of people. Is there anything else that we could do in addition to that? Or how do we sort of help people around maybe find their way and find solutions? And sort of like, for example, you know, like the stuff you were mentioning, just grepping the code and looking for stuff. Is there anything else that we could sort of additionally do, either, you know, from the panel here or anybody in the crowd?
Hopefully this is not difficult to implement, but like based on your collective wisdom and discussions on Discord, we could actually contribute some of those readmes that David mentioned where they don't exist. I don't think Google would be opposed to it. They don't change the code in any sort of way. And then that's maybe good practice for others to keep those readmes up to date. Would make your life easier because then in the future when Google would make a change, someone at Google would be like, go change the README as well. And that's probably something that we could do that I don't think Google would be necessarily opposed to, especially if just READMEs.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. Thank you. Actually, this is a brilliant idea. I like this very much because, I mean, you know, there is a Garrett site where you can actually go and try to contribute code to the AOSP. It's just most of the contributions are made by Google people or companies that are close to Google. But to Sherwin's point, I think that if people took it upon themselves to just contribute readmes or even just to patch the readmes that are there, I think that there's no sort of conflict, in as far as I can see, from Google's side from taking those sorts of things. I think that would definitely be something that would be welcome, especially if it's a community contributing stuff. So maybe this is an open invitation for people to sort of look at the different...
Who thinks that's a good idea?
There we go. Yeah. So there's a lot of people in the Android community at large, just call them foot soldiers or whatever, who are actually doing this stuff and they're figuring this stuff out, but it just goes nowhere. So maybe those readmes would be a great thing if we all sort of tried to push in that direction. Thank you for that.
Can we do a wrap up now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got like 3 minutes or something left. Anybody else want to add anything here? No? Crickets? All right. Time to nest the jig. No, all right. So, yeah, go ahead.
Just wanted to say that if the readmes start to show up, I could take it upon myself to negotiate with Google to get those in.
Cool.
I'll volunteer for that.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah.
Volunteer. Yeah. I love a volunteer.
Yeah, so, I mean, the readmes are very, very variable in their quality and their depth and whatever, but if we sort of start seeing them collectively as a sort of a thing that we can contribute to, I think that would be a good, very good philosophy. Did you want to go ahead?
Just one comment. I think I totally agree with Sarban. If we can figure out a set of folks that can interface with Google as well and figure out how can the rest of the larger community contribute back to ASP, maybe README is, of course, the first start, but we can go ahead with further things after that.
Sure. I think the next step is to just find ourselves the first guinea pig who will take upon himself, him or herself, or their self, sort of contributing a README. All right, so thank you very much, folks. I will leave it off to the next presentation then. Floor is yours.
Thank you.
Still not.
You're presenting next?
Yep. Okay, cool. What do you need? You just need to connect the HDMI and that's
it? Yes, I think that's it, but my laptop is just hot now.
So, let's do a shift now and see how you're